All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for your patience. So we're going to launch into a conversation this afternoon about Energy Upgrade California from a local government perspective and from an implementer's perspective. It's my pleasure this afternoon to introduce both Jack Clark and Joseph Oldham. We'll have their presentations, and I'm going to take the moderator's prerogative of asking them a few questions, which I'd like them to answer as succinctly as possible so that we can engage in a dialogue with you as well. So without further ado, I want to do a real quick roundup on what Energy Upgrade California is. It's an unprecedented collaboration between regulatory agencies, energy agencies, the CEC and the CPUC, the public IOUs, as well as public agencies in at the local government level, and implementers like CCSE, like READY, like RCEA, and like Ecology Action, who are doing some of the on-the-ground outreach, in addition to not one, not two, not three, but four PACE pilot programs. Liz earlier spoke about the Sonoma PACE pilot, but we also have Placer County, the city and county of San Francisco, and why am I forgetting the LA. And LA, thank you, and LA. How can you forget LA? So these are the other three are working on the commercial PACE side. So we are running at a breakneck pace to do many things all at the same time. Workforce development, dispel ignorance, engage the public, engage contractors to be our emissaries out in the world about the value of energy efficiency. And at the forefront of that work are the people who have been champions of energy efficiency for years and years. And these two gentlemen here are certainly in that genre. So without further ado, Jack Clark, I'd like to introduce the Building Retrofit Program Senior Manager for the California Center for Sustainable Energy, responsible for overseeing all of the day-to-day operational management activities at CCSE in their building retrofit programs. I'm going to keep the introduction short. He can tell you more about himself if he'd like to, but he does an awful lot. He's a visionary, passionate, and hardworking individual. So without further ado, Jack.
All right. Well, thank you, Margaret, for that kind introduction. Thank you for the introduction earlier today, describing Joseph and myself as knights of energy efficiency. If I'm like any knight, I'm sure I'm like Monty Python's Knights of Nick, and in search of the Holy Grail. So let me get my PowerPoint up here. So good afternoon. Thank you for having me here at the event. My name is Jack Clark. I'm a senior program manager for the California Center for Sustainable Energy. We're a nonprofit 501c3 organization located in San Diego. We do a number of things in the clean energy space, program administration for CSI, clean vehicle rebate programs, climate change programming, energy advisory services, which we have a fee-for-service technical wing, which is focused around engineering and third-party review and analysis. We do a number of things. Building retrofits is one of them, and we are one of our region's program administrators for Energy Upgrade California. Before I get into the presentation, I want to start off with one of those aha moments. We were just in our earlier plenary discussion where it was more of a, I believe it was Phil who said, it's more of an oh, you know, when we're talking about energy efficiency. And certainly it's after lunch and, you know, I've had a lot of coffee. I've taken a lot of notes. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to pop at any moment. So I want to start with an aha moment for Energy Upgrade California. So we do a number of things at the Center for Sustainable Energy. Contractor training and building science is one of them. I'm in particular, I'm a BPI proctor and trainer. So we are tasked with doing a lot of the workforce development training in SDG&E's territory for this particular program. And one particular day, we are training at a local house. We have about a dozen contractors there in the field. And we're wrapping up for the day. And this one contractor, actually all the contractors are leaving. I'm wrapping up the equipment. And one of our contractors comes back into the house, and his eyes are wide open. Right? And I said, okay. I'm staring him right in the face. I said, okay, he's got that aha moment. It's coming. I'm about to hear it. His name is Jack, So automatically, we know Jack is a good guy, right? Jack is an insulation contractor and has been for 30 years. He's been doing work in housing, in rehabilitation, and new home construction for quite some time. He's exactly the contractor that we're looking for to get into Energy Upgrade California. So Jack comes back in, and he says, Jack, and I say, Jack. And he says, you know what, this house that we just tested and we just spent half a week in is just like that house across the street. And I said, that's right. And he said, that house across the street is just like the house next door. Mm-hmm. And I said, that's right. Mm-hmm. And then he said, and that house is just like the house across the street down the road. And I said, that's right. And I said, this neighborhood is just like that neighborhood over there and that neighborhood over there. And so our contractor, Jack, got what we were trying to do with Energy Upgrade California. We're trying to retrofit thousands of homes throughout the state, and we're trying to do it now. We're not going to be able to do it now without the participation of local governments here, regionally, and across the state of California. Energy Upgrade California is based on a whole systems approach to measuring what's going on actually in a house. I'm going to get into that in greater detail, but it's not new stuff. Okay, the concept behind building science is not new. This program is new here in California, but the principles behind building science are not new. I'm going to dive into that in a few more minutes. So Energy Upgrade California, reduce energy use, save money, create jobs. Here's a typical California family. Energy Upgrade California, just by a show of hands, how many folks in the room are actually familiar with this program? You've heard about it. Outstanding. Somebody's doing their job.
They have passed the
class. So Energy Upgrade California can address energy use, comfort in homes, indoor air quality, and clean air for our communities. Reduce greenhouse gas production. All the while saving you money and getting you incentives to do the work. One other thing I should probably tell you, this is not my original presentation today. I actually had to go back and reformat everything. I had a major last minute glitch. So if things are not animated correctly, please bear with me. So this is the house. This is the typical Energy Upgrade California house. This is a typical building science house. This is the Department of Energy image. This is what's going on in the house. When we have our contractors out there in the community, they're measuring all systems, okay? They're not just looking at refrigerators or dishwashers or windows. They're looking at as a house, as a system, and it's important for local governments to understand that these systems can either interact appropriately or compete with each other for resources in the house. And so we're educating contractors and communities along these lines. Energy Upgrade California overview in Southern California and the San Diego region. These are just some of the partners, local government partners that we have in our region that have been working with us. We have some of our partners here in the room. I hope you guys can contribute to the discussion when ready. We're going to go a little old school here with the rotary phone. You can see our organization there at the top and going around. We've got the Department of Energy. We've got Better Buildings. We've got multiple contracts that we have actually in our region that we're all focusing on Energy Upgrade California. So we have multiple programs here in Better Buildings, Department of Energy funds, EECBG funds from different local governments, and we're all focusing it to Energy Upgrade California. We have the CPUC, the California Energy Commission, County of San Bernardino, Riverside, Chula Vista, San Diego County, City of San Diego, and obviously SDG&E in our territory. And we've been convening retrofit advisory committee meetings in our region with all of these stakeholders for about a year and a half now, even before a lot of this funding came on down, even before this program was launched. We've been convening this group of stakeholders to find out what is needed in the community. Much of the program implementation was designed on local government input. We have to know what's going on in the community in order to address those needs through this program. And so we've tailored and tweaked what we can to address those needs in San Diego and Southern California. What you don't see here on this list are the many other organizations in our region that are participating in this collaborative. Community-based organizations, nonprofit housing rehab groups, contractor communities, local lenders, and financial institutions that we're doing outreach with to get a lot of that financing support that's ultimately needed for this program's success as well. So I'm going to go through some of the resources available for local governments. I touched on earlier, workforce development is a huge component to Energy Upgrade California. In our region alone in San Diego, we're looking at retrofitting 3,600 homes over the next 2 to 3 years. That's a small microcosm of the ultimate goal of Energy Upgrade California statewide. But before this program launched, we had maybe 6 home performance contractors in our community. Okay, there is absolutely no way we're going to reach that 3,600 goal with only 6 home performance contractors in San Diego. So workforce development is critical in meeting these goals. We've been working with other workforce development providers, Pathways Out of Poverty, community action organizations. I myself am a former local government employee, so I come from a community action background, and this program is very much community action focused. There's no way we're going to reach our community goals, climate action plans, without engaging all aspects of the community. So financing opportunities. In the city of San Diego, in the fall of 2010, when PACE withered, I'm not going to say died because it hasn't died fully. It's bubbling in places. Certainly in our neck of the woods, it has withered quite a bit. But the city of San Diego had put aside some money to support PACE. And when that looked like it was no longer going to be an option for us, the city of San Diego gave us a call and said, okay, well, we have some funding. What do we need to do in order to support this program? And so we reached out to Lawrence Berkeley Lab. We reached out to a few other folks nationally and said, okay, what are our other options? And we knew what some of those options were, but we wanted to get some buy-in from folks who had tried other mechanisms of financing throughout the country and throughout the West Coast. And ultimately, we decided on a loan loss reserve. So the city of San Diego is just about launching their loan loss reserve in support of Energy Upgrade California. We're about a couple of weeks away. They've gone through a number of RFP processes. It's been a challenge here and there. We can get into that later. But ultimately, we did a lot of outreach through our nonprofit agency to local financial institutions to see who might be interested in putting together a proposal. Oddly enough, it was the credit unions, our local credit unions. It fits much more closely with their vision and their mission. So our local credit unions started getting involved in this discussion, and they couldn't even wait for the loan loss reserve RFP to happen. They went out and started their own EE and solar financing just based on the outreach and discussions that we have in place. So we already have an EE financing mechanism through San Diego Metropolitan Credit Union, and without any public funds, without any seed money, they're already doing it because it's based on what they want to deliver to their clients. We could not have been able to usher in that success without participation from our local governments. Chula Vista is another prime example of another financing opportunity. They went ahead and took some of their EECBG funds and designed a revolving loan program. As many of you know, Chula Vista is a progressive community, and they went ahead and without any participation from us, they just went ahead and did that. And so we're supporting them every way we can with our Better Buildings program in doing whole neighborhood retrofits in the city of Chula Vista specifically. Other resources on Energy Upgrade California for local governments include financing opportunities like the ones I discussed. There are other financing opportunities out there. You can find them on the website, energyupgradeca.org. News and events that are going on locally and regionally on the program and promotions. Additional program details that you might want to forward on to your constituents. Again, I used to manage housing rehab programs, CDBG, home emergency repair grants, and IOU contracts for community action agencies within county government. And if your housing departments are not engaged in Energy Upgrade California currently, they absolutely should be. There's a strong correlation between low income and moderate income communities, weatherization programming, community action and housing rehab, and energy upgrade California. So out of place workers, you know, a lot of what I'm saying is not new to you folks if you're familiar with energy upgrade California. But certainly you can find the training opportunities online in your local jurisdictions to forward those on to your contractor associations to make sure that they're fully aware of the opportunities that are out there. There are different training providers in every region, and you can find them on the website there. A few of the financing opportunities that are available in our area, again, another one here is the FHA Power Saver Loan, SDMCU. You know, we've got things like energy efficiency mortgages. Again, those are not new, but they're not really being taken advantage of in a lot of communities. And I know that the CAHF program is also available in many counties throughout the state. Also, another fantastic financing opportunity that we're looking to bring on in San Diego as well. Incredibly low interest rates, geared at low and moderate income folks. So benefits to local governments. Again, starting to repeat myself a little bit here, but obviously job creation. Okay, we need to get people back to work. So local governments have to know what training opportunities are out there. Local governments also have to know what some of the challenges are in getting folks to work. So we can train everybody and their mother in building science, but what's the use of having these certifications if you can't actually go out and do the work? Okay, so driving the demand to Energy Upgrade California is an opportunity for local governments to get involved and participate and promote innovative programs and solutions to this as well. Costs and energy savings. Obviously, energy efficiency, you're going to reduce your costs. Okay, your constituents are going to see reduced utility bills. Climate and energy goals, again, they go hand in hand with a lot of your strategic planning for climate initiatives. So energyupgradeca.org. Stamp it on your forehead. I'm on the website just about every 10 minutes. There's a lot of resources out there. You get on the website here. This is what it looks like. How many folks have actually been on the website? Fantastic. You guys are way ahead. Yeah, I know. Absolutely. So you can put in your zip code. You can find out what's going on in your region locally. Okay. One other thing I'd like to touch on, and this is a side note. So we've been working with the city of San Diego in a number of areas, along with the city of Chula Vista, San Bernardino, Riverside counties, and a lot of the other folks that I had mentioned. But the city of San Diego also had some EECBG dollars that they wanted to put towards low-income and moderate-income communities. And, you know, as you may know, there are a lot of resources out there for some of these communities, including direct install programs and the weatherization assistance program and maybe some of the housing rehab programs that are out there, but they're not really designed to take on that whole house performance approach. So they're missing half of the actual solution. They're direct installs, but they might be making the house too tight, or they might not be making or installing enough mechanical ventilation to actually make the house healthier and safer for the occupants. So what we've done is we've designed a program with the city of San Diego to actually build on the ESAP program, build on the IOU's direct install program to go above and beyond that to include that whole house systems approach with no out-of-pocket costs for low-income and moderate-income communities. It's an innovative program. We're just underway here over the summer, so it'll be interesting how that unveils itself. But it's one of those examples where we had a local government who, you know, through outreach and through the understanding of Energy Upgrade California, said, well, what can we do for our low-income community? How can we make these existing programs even better? And so we worked with them to do this. We said, okay, well, this is a comprehensive program. It's pretty challenging to actually find the weaknesses within a comprehensive program that can install just about anything that's needed. But we've increased a lot of the insulation values. We've also done a lot more air sealing involved in this program. We've introduced mechanical ventilation. We've also introduced a lot of the comprehensive testing that goes along with Energy Upgrade California, all without any out-of-pocket costs for the homeowner. So it's an innovative program. It's a great example of what's possible if local governments are participating and working with different program administrators throughout the state. So again, my contact information is here. I'm happy to talk with anyone afterwards, or please give me a call. And thank you very much for your time.
All right, now it's my pleasure to introduce Joseph Oldham. Joseph is the sustainability manager at the City of Fresno. I can't imagine the breadth of duties that it requires to maintain such a title, but I'm sure they're all soul-satisfying, to say the least. And in addition to that, he is Fresno's Green Team Chairman. He is strategically involved in the DOE's EECBG program, also the administrator of Fresno's Energy Watch program, and as if he didn't have any free time after that, is also involved in the comprehensive residential retrofit program serving all of Fresno and Kern counties, served by the California Energy Commission's grant. Joe's a pleasure to work with. He also hosted and spoke at the Energy Upgrade California regional outreach event that was hosted in Fresno not long ago, and it's a great pleasure to introduce and welcome Joe Oldham.
Okay, I'm going to see if I can make this computer work here. What I'm going to talk to you about today is not just Energy Upgrade California, but really the programs that we're doing in Fresno to collaborate and coordinate and put it all the pieces together. You know, somebody asked me when I first took this job as sustainability manager, they said, what are you? What do you do? What is a sustainability manager? What's it all about? I said, well, the best way to think about it is I'm a puzzle master. I take a bunch of pieces and I put them together, and at the end of the day, what I hope we've got is a sustainable community. So our goals with our sustainability program, which started back actually in 2009, the City of Fresno received about $4.6 million in formula funding from the US DOE, and through the wisdom of our administration and our city council, we decided that we needed some capacity to turn the community into a sustainable one over the next 25 to 30 years. So we actually formed a division within our planning and development department called Sustainable Fresno, and I was appointed as the manager of that starting in July of 2009. One of the tasks that we realized quickly was that our community used a lot of energy. We had worked with PG&E to get kind of an energy profile for the community as we were preparing our application for our EECBG funding. And we were just really shocked and appalled at how much money this community was spending on energy. And so we realized that the only way to get a handle on this was we've got to find out where are the areas that need the help and then apply resources to improve those areas and reduce the cost for our citizens. So we launched a free energy survey program in July of 2009. And our partners really on our programs overall were extensive. This list is not just in any particular order. This is just to show kind of the overview of the partnerships that we have, and there's many more here. But our primary partners are the California Energy Commission, Pacific Gas and Electric, Ecology Action, the U.S. Department of Energy. We're now working with all of the local jurisdictions of both Fresno and Kern counties. We have extensive outreach and working relationships with our local contractors, our local and regional nonprofits, and many more. So really to get a handle on what was going on in the community, we needed to know data. Everybody talks about it, you know, but until you know what's going on in your community, you really don't know what's happening. So we had started doing that energy survey program in July of 2009, and by the time we started receiving data from PG&E, who was coming along with us and saying, gee, these local communities really need to understand their energy use if they're going to get a handle on energy efficiency and also reducing greenhouse gases and helping us comply with the goals of the CPUC and the California Energy Commission and the state overall in terms of AB 32. So by about March of this year, our community energy manager, Bob Riding, who's sitting here with us today, came to me and said, hey, I've got this great new software program that PG&E's worked up, And it really looks at data and portrays it in a way that I think you'll be very interested in. So the first data he provided us was data about our county as a whole and how the city, all the cities and the unincorporated areas in Fresno County, how we fare. So this is Fresno County electricity use. It covers a period of 2005 through 2009. That pie chart there shows, and the city of Fresno, we're the green bar. You can see we're kind of the 500-pound gorilla in the county. In 2009, we used 3.345 billion kilowatt hours of electricity. And that was almost equal to all of the other communities in the Fresno County, plus the unincorporated areas combined. So 49.2%. And those bars down below show the general trends. As you can see, in some years it was increasing, some years it was decreasing, but overall it was pretty high. So that's electricity. This is natural gas. Again, we're pretty high on the list. 163 million therms of natural gas in 1 year. Over 40% of the total natural gas use in the county was used by the city of Fresno. And again, the bars down below show the trends. So these are our challenges. So what was the economic impact? We thought, gee, you know, somebody's paying for this. What is it? So PG&E helped us give a cost per kilowatt hour and a cost per therm. And when we applied those numbers to that 2009 data, the city of Fresno spent roughly $866 million on electricity and natural gas in a single year. For a community or a city of about 500,000 people, that was pretty high. So then roughly 40% of that cost, or $346 million, was spent just by our residential households. So we said, well, gee, if we could apply the practices of energy efficiency and improve household efficiency in our community, what would that mean to our community as an economic stimulator? And so a 30% reduction would mean $104 million circulating in our community annually. That's not new money. That's not money from a new factory. That's not bringing in a new business. That's not anything. This is money that's being spent every year. But instead of wasting it, we want to put it to use. And so we could have a $104 million stimulus program going on in our community every single year with our own internal investment in energy efficiency to achieve a 30% reduction just in the residential sector. Now, if you applied that same logic to the commercial sector, which is roughly 60% of that electricity use from 2009, those numbers become multi-hundreds of millions of dollars circulating in your community every single year. And this doesn't account for new jobs created to achieve that efficiency. This doesn't account for sales of equipment. This is just the direct savings in energy monies spent. Okay? So where do we start? Well, the same data sets that we got from PG&E showed that single-family homes are the big problem. That pie chart down there at the bottom, on the corner, 98% of all the electricity used in the city of Fresno in 2009 was used by single-family homes. Only 2% by multifamily. Data shows up there along the top, you can see by zip code where the highest energy use zip codes are in the city. And then down below, that single family versus multifamily bar chart across there shows average monthly energy use per household. It's obvious that single family homes are significantly higher than multifamily households at about 645 kilowatt hours per month versus 452 in 2010. So then how many homes are there that need help? This is the same data set that PG&E provided to us. They did some very impressive regression analysis on the data, not only looking at bill data, but also looking at demographics, decadal build periods, very comprehensive analysis. They determined that basically energy use within our city falls within four different quartiles, from lowest to highest, and you can see the ranges there down below on the bottom right. And there's roughly 90-some thousand of our residents that residential homeowners that are in the highest two quartiles of energy use. And over on the left, you'll see the energy efficiency opportunity scores. 76,000 residential properties are in the two highest opportunity boxes for energy efficiency improvements. That's a huge, huge market. If we were able to do 7,000 retrofits a year, you just heard the goals from San Diego of 3,600 over several years. We're talking, if we were optimistic, naive, foolish, thought we could even do it, 7,000 retrofits a year to cover those 76,000 would take over 10 years, a decade's worth of work. That's absolutely huge. So if anyone says, well, we don't think there's a real economic advantage to doing energy efficiency, come to Fresno. There is. Okay, so which homes? This is a heat map, also produced from the same data from PG&E, showing energy usage across the city in the residential sectors, and the ones in red are the highest energy users. It just so happens that those are homes that typically fall in our highest income demographics, and those also happen to be homes that are the largest homes in Fresno, and also homes that have swimming pools and have a variety of other things going on in those properties. And then also, you can also see that this information can be broken down to zip code plus two, and also looked at from a perspective of highest energy opportunity by zip code. This is a tremendous tool. It allows us to target our advertising, our marketing, our outreach. This is absolutely essential for local governments to get the word out into the communities. If I want to know where I want to have a community engagement meeting, this map will tell me, okay? This is a tremendous opportunity for us, and this data is available, okay? So this is not something just that the city of Fresno can get access to, if I'm not going too far, Bob. But PG&E has hired 8 community energy managers to cover their service territory. And these community energy managers can provide this data to the local governments within their areas. And this data, I would encourage you to get your hands on. If you're a local government, get your hands on this data, because it'll help you target your resources. And right now, local governments are like a 1950s horror movie, the incredible shrinking local government, okay? We don't have much to work with, and all of us are wearing about 4 or 5 hats, and we're getting paid less for it. So we can target neighborhoods with this data. I can actually drill down to the city block level and look block by block across the city and see which areas of the community are using more energy versus others. One of the interesting things that comes out of this data is the yellow and green dots that you see on there, those are multifamily complexes. So if there was anyone that was ever doubting whether multifamily was using less energy than single-family homes, this data absolutely proves that they are. So I can go in and look at the single-family homes in these communities, and the darker red is the higher users, and these are groupings of about 3 to 4 homes per dot. And so it gives me the opportunity to target. If I want to walk neighborhoods, I know exactly which blocks to walk, looking at this mapping. So what did we do to address this? Well, we started, as I said, in 2009 with a program to inform our residents of their opportunities for energy efficiency by offering them free in-home energy surveys. That program has gone on now to the point where we've conducted about 1,350 of these residential surveys since July of 2009. And we started back in March of 2011 in collaboration with the Energy Commission and under some new funding from them to do these analysis as a HERS-2 whole house radar analysis. And now we're actually including combustion air safety testing, which is a protocol of the BPI testing, to include that so that we're doing both combustion air safety testing as well as the HERS whole house radar analysis. These are absolutely free analysis for our homeowners. We were shocked and appalled when we went out into the community and started getting bill data from our homeowners. We knew that our homes were using a lot of energy. We intuitively knew that. Fresno is in a very hot climate zone. But we really didn't know how high the bills were until we started doing these analysis. Homeowners would give us their bill data, and we asked them for their highest electricity use and their highest gas use. And we started seeing bills from our homeowners of $1,000 a month. That wasn't where it stopped. It went up from there. We saw bills of $1,800 in a single month. And the highest was one bill from one homeowner of $2,459 for a single month. This was the month of July. Then we started saying, well, what's really wrong with these buildings? Everything. But it starts with their ductwork and their old HVAC systems and the lack of insulation and the lack of air sealing, and it just goes on and on and on. Most of these homes have not had any serious upgrades done in any, and the worst ones were really the ones from about the 1970s through the 1990s. It appears that homes in those decadal build periods, homeowners were relatively satisfied with the performance of their houses for many, many years. And I call energy inefficiency like cancer in the community because it sneaks up on the homeowner. They don't look at their ductwork. They don't climb up in the attic. They don't check under the floor. They don't know that the squirrels have been climbing up in there and chewing holes in their ducts. We had one homeowner that had a hole about the size of a basketball in a duct. We found that for him. He fixed it. His bills went down $200 in a single month. And it's just simple things like that, or ducts, underfloor ducts that have come loose from the flooring and have dropped down, and the homeowner's air conditioning the underfloor space. One homeowner had a 12-inch main plenum connection to their HVAC system that had come completely loose. They were complaining to us that they'd run the air conditioning for 24 hours, and at full force, they couldn't get the house below 80 degrees, and when we checked, it found that the ductwork was completely disconnected. This is the kind of thing that goes on every community. It's all over the place. And in the San Joaquin Valley, it's extremely prevalent because many of these homes have not, because of the poverty and low income in many of these areas, homeowners haven't paid much attention to it. And even in the upper income neighborhoods, people haven't been paying attention to what's going on. And I typically say, well, you know, like it is cancerous because they don't know that something's going on. And as their bills go up, what they do is they blame PG&E for rate increases. Well, yeah, the rates have gone up, but their systems have degraded. And so it's a combination of all of these things and begins to impact them. But they're paying huge amounts of money, and they don't have to. So these are the kinds of thermal imaging testing that we do, and we find this is very popular with homeowners. It helps them see where insulation is missing, if there's possible mold, a lot of air intrusion. It's a very quick way to see if the ducts are in really bad shape because we depressurize the home at the same time with a blower door as we're doing this thermal testing. And so, you know, what do homeowners need to invest in energy efficiency? Well, we know they need accurate and independent information about how efficient their homes are. Our homeowners are skeptical. They're very debt averse. They're very suspect of contractors, and they're very suspect of the contractor sales pitches. They value the service that we provide because we provide it at no cost, and it's also provided from an independent third party that they know has no vested interest in trying to sell them anything. Education about the value of energy efficiency is one of the main things that we do, and we think that this is something, a continuing ongoing role for local governments, because as you can see, the economic impact to our communities is huge, and the economic advantages that we could achieve by achieving these reductions in energy use are equally huge. These could be the economic development tools that would change our communities for the better without having to worry about new business development or anything else. This is just reinvestment in ourselves. And then, of course, they need money in the form of financing programs. And this is where, and rebates, and this is where Energy Upgrade California comes in. Energy Upgrade California had come at a better time. We started our energy survey program in July of 2009, anticipating we would develop a residential PACE financing district. And then the additional funding that we received from the California Energy Commission was designed to also go along with the California First PACE program that initially was coming out of the CEC from SEP 1. When that all kind of fell apart, we were very disturbed, and we basically didn't stop our programs. We kept them going. We worked closely with the Energy Commission. And as they were beginning to develop Energy Upgrade California, we got some new hope that we were actually going to have some financing resources that we could make available to our homeowners. Some of the poll data we've got, you know, most of our homeowners need loans. They prefer loans versus rebates. That doesn't stop us from pointing, though, to Energy Upgrade California and offering this tremendous rebate opportunity, because it really is. So we offer these free energy surveys. We do extensive radio and print ad campaigns. We're promoting Energy Upgrade California as well as all the other rebates that are available. And we're very excited about the CHF loan program, which is available in Fresno and Kern County. And we've been helping our homeowners take advantage of that. And I found out just yesterday that there's about 5 loans already started in Fresno to the tune of about $36,000, which isn't a lot, but it's a start. So we've got homeowners that are starting to take advantage of that loan. And once we get some testimonials from that, it'll be very helpful for the rest of our community. So our next steps really are, we're going to hold community engagement meetings at community centers with our local council representatives, and hold those out all across the community. Using the data that we have from PG&E about the community energy use, we'll be sharing that and then helping our homeowners understand how their neighborhood fits into the overall energy use patterns for the city. Then we're working on holding an energy efficiency financing workshop in August, where we're going to get local banks and even the large national banks engaged, as well as the Federal Reserve Bank from San Francisco is going to help us participate in this. In fact, our mayor's office called it the energy efficiency smackdown. We're going to try to get all the banks in the room and say, look, you guys, you know, this is what energy efficiency could mean to the housing market in the city of Fresno. This is a huge opportunity for you, and you need to take advantage of this. And then we're going to continue our efforts to develop a residential PACE financing program. We were successful in developing and implementing a commercial PACE financing district, and that's really getting off and starting to move quite well. And then ultimately, our goal is to educate. This is an ongoing process, and as we've heard today, the messaging may take years to get it really out across the community. So with that, I'll open it up to any questions, and thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Joe. Moderator's prerogative. When I announced the panel, I talked about the three-eyed dragon, and I'd like to ask the panelists, in their experience, I'm thinking that possibly inertia might be one of the biggest impediments. And I like to truck out my favorite comic book character when I talk about inertia. And my favorite comic book character is the Tick, this enormous blue guy who has strange quotes. And one of them is, don't forget, a body at rest can't be stopped. And it's kind of a, you know, it's a truism of the human condition, is that we get very comfortable, we get very complacent. Bureaucracies, systems tend to like to perpetuate themselves, and it kind of keeps us stuck. But we have to move really quickly. I mean, we've heard two really good examples, ambitious examples, of how many residential retrofit opportunities there are just in these two regions. But if you look at the state's goals as a whole, we were hearing from the CPUC is 1 million homes a year, that's all we ask. I mean, that's just really, really bold. And if we're talking about our climate change mitigation goals and other kinds of adaptation goals, that's probably about where we need to be. So, Joe first, what is the largest impediment? What is the body at rest that you would like to get moving?
Well, I think the largest impediment is ignorance and complacency. It's ignorance in terms of people understanding what's going on in their homes and what's going on in their communities, the impact of energy use. We've just basically got very comfortable with, at least in the Valley, we kind of have settled ourselves into the ideas of, well, we live in a hot climate, so we're going to pay a lot for energy. And so people kind of get used to it. They harden their energy bills and their budgets. They get their bills from PG&E. They look at it. They cough. They gas. They wheeze. They pull out the check. They write the check, and they send it in. They don't even look at the data. They don't even look at their energy use. PG&E's bills have a lot of data on them. They show how your usage compares month to month. It shows how it compares from last year. Most people, when we've gone out and started talking to their to homeowners when we first started this program, we found they didn't even know how to read their energy bills. They did, and that was one of the services we started providing for them. We told them they could get information from PG&E about their energy use. Even though PG&E has lots of information on their website, they have a very good website that helps people get information, most people don't take the time to go out there and look at it. So when they called us out, we started helping them, and we started really providing a lot of education. Educating our elected officials and those in office is equally as important. Having them understand the importance of energy efficiency and how it plays in the overall economic goals of the community is critical. We were very fortunate that we did have a visionary administration and council when we got our ECBG funding, and we continue to have a visionary mayor and council that is supportive of the efforts that we're doing. But it's not that way in every community, and so it takes a lot of education. And we're taking this advantage. We're taking this opportunity now with this two-county program to really do a lot of education out across Fresno County. Although we'd been working with most of our local jurisdictions in Fresno County for quite some time, and they were actually quite aware of what was going on, but Kern County really had not moved forward too much, and so we're actually looking at this as a great opportunity to do a lot of things in Kern County now. To give a lot more information out there in those areas. And I shouldn't really say they hadn't done too much. Kern County had been doing quite a bit, but it was in pockets, and that's the challenge. If you can't get this thing going on a broad scale across multiple jurisdictions in your region, it's really hard to get traction.
So same question for you, Jack.
Okay. Well, that was a fantastic answer. Thank you, Joseph. I would add one other thing in that once the public is knowledgeable and starts to drive the demand mm-hmm. for mass energy efficiency, this train is going to start picking up speed. Mm-hmm. And the market will respond. Contractors will respond. The private marketplace will respond if the demand is there. So for folks to be knowledgeable and aware of what's going on, aware of the opportunities, exactly what Joseph was speaking to, it's awareness. And once that demand starts driving, this huge train will really start picking up momentum. There's no doubt about it because it makes a lot of sense.
Question for both of you, and then I'll turn it over to the audience. What advantage do you think there might be, and do you think it would be necessary or valuable to have a regulatory driver in addition to the economic one, Joseph, that you so clearly described? Not every part of California has the same economic, energy, heating and cooling degree day drivers that you do, but if California's overall goals are to retrofit the built environment, would there be an advantage to having a mandate that said at the point of sale or at some transaction or over some periodicity, every building has to undergo at least an assessment, if not also some kind of an upgrade? Mm. Yes, no, maybe.
All right, I'll take it on. I think perhaps there could be some advantage to this, however. I think there's a lot of concern these days about overregulation. There's a lot of concern about, you know, business competitiveness and viability. If there was going to be some kind of regulation towards this end, my thought would be that it should be timed appropriately so that at least the public and the affected individuals, say in the real estate community and others, understood that this would be of value and that they would be behind it. I don't think it would be productive at this point to try to push something forward until that education had been accomplished on a broad scale across the state. I think Energy Upgrade California, the efforts by all of the local governments that are involved in that, as well as all the nonprofits and all of the regulators that are working on this now, from the CPUC to the CEC. I think if we do our jobs right, in a few years, I think maybe this might be something that would be worthwhile to pursue. Because then people would see the value of it. There would be buy-in. There would be support. It would be a piece of legislation that would be widely supported by the elected officials across the state, as well as the as well as the citizens of the state.
I've considered this question before. It's an interesting one. I think, again, Joseph hit the nail on the head, and the timing has to be right. And I think right now, for some communities, they've made this a priority. Some communities are mandating that point of sale. There's either an assessment or there's a direct install improvement for reaching certain energy efficiency goals. And I've actually done a lot of outreach with realtors and lenders to explore that and how it would work through their process. And I think that it may be too early right now to implement something like that, but as we, again, start to prove this program and this concept has really some legs under it, and we are gaining momentum, and we have a good bit of data that points to the success of these projects, not only on a project-by-project scale, but also on a community scale, and how not only energy consumption data, but a lot of the dollars that are going back into our community and folks getting back to work and looking at it very comprehensively and all the benefits that we've already talked about today, then I could see it at some point becoming a requirement or, in that point of sale for property transfer. And I know some other communities throughout the country are doing similar programs like that. And to my knowledge, that's probably the best point of contact for such legislation or requirement.
Thank you. Now it's the audience's opportunity to ask them some dragony questions. Sir, in the green shirt. And if you speak loudly, I won't have to repeat the question.
Okay. I want to make one quick comment and then a question. The comment was, in Green County, and Bob Brown, who's here, can speak better. They require people to fill out the Build a Green checklist, which is essentially forced education without actually action. And I think this is anecdotally early on, very little resistance, and people are finding, oh, look, colleges and some workforce boards have got into the home performance training area over the last year, and they're getting skittish because the train has not left.
Right.
And they're having a hard time filling classes, they're having a really hard time with job placement.
Yep.
And so I've heard a lot today about the train is leaving, the big broad goals, but there's people who are ready to train who are looking at maybe getting out because we don't have the evidence yet that the train is leaving. Can you guys speak?
Sure.
You want to? Well, yeah. If you don't mind, I'll jump in. I'm a trainer. I'm one of those trainers. You know, we do a majority of the training in building science, and energy modeling and mentoring in SDG&E territory. And you're absolutely right. It's one of the chicken and the egg type questions. You know, what do we do first? Do we train the workforce to meet this demand, or do we drive the demand and have the workforce come in afterwards? And I think folks, it's one of those tough questions. There's no doubt about it. I think the training could be diversified. I think we also have a contract with the CEC, that's the Comprehensive Residential Retrofit Program, that you have in Fresno. And one of the things we've done with that is we've done a different type of training. Actually, we've taken people out of the classroom. And we've brought in graduates from other workforce development programs, and we're actually getting them in the field to do the work. You know, we're not just telling them how to do the assessment. We're getting them in the field, and we're showing them how to do the air sealing, how to do the insulation, how to do the furnace changeout, how to reduct the house, how to install windows. So it's not just theory. They can actually step up and get into the workplace. We're also doing internships and some of the soft skill trainings as well. But without that demand, you know, we, like I said earlier, we can train as many people as possible. And, you know, we're working with contractors as they start to scale up. And this is small scale right now, but as they start to scale up, we're bringing in these workforce training graduates. And we're bringing them in a room with the contractors who are actually doing the work. And we're having them network with folks. And we're having paid internships so these contractors don't have to pay out of pocket to hire some folks on who have maybe master's degrees in their back pocket, but have spent the past 6 weeks sealing ductwork. You know, I mean, this is a whole nother generation of worker, I think, that we're starting to talk about. I mean, yes, we, you know, I talked about some folks who have been doing insulation for 30 years, but we're also seeing some folks come into the workforce that are taking a whole nother perspective on what energy efficiency and retrofit is. And it's, you know, we have to do more of that driving demand. We have to educate the public more before we really start to do any more training.
Yeah. And the real driver for demand is money. It's financing. Unfortunately, I think a lot of the workforce training programs got started at the time when everybody was thinking we were going to have PACE financing that was going to cover residential and commercial fairly quickly, and it was going to run out the door. And then that was the way we started our programs. We were working very closely with our Workforce Investment Board, but we also cautioned them at the same time when they came to us and say, well, you know, when they first released the ARRA money, they were talking about thousands and thousands of green jobs. And our WIB came to us and said, well, where are those jobs? What do they look like? What are they going to be? And we said, we haven't got a clue, but I can tell you this, and until there's money, you won't have any jobs. And so they were saying, well, we've got all these training programs. And we said, you better go slow. You better go slow until the financing is there, because there's no money in the community. Everybody's in debt up to their eyeballs. They're underwater on their mortgages. They're debt averse is like crazy. This housing slump has killed everything. And so you better be careful about going out and training too many people before you have the financing programs. And unfortunately, PACE hit a roadblock. Energy Upgrade California has brought back opportunities. Now we're seeing our local contractors are actually starting to get some work. They're picking up people. They're starting to hire a few extra people. Several of our contractors in Fresno have started to hire more people. They've started buying more trucks. They've started to make more investment. So it is going to happen. It's just a matter of you've got to get the financing out there. We've been pushing the CHF loan. We're going to be working on trying to get some resolution with residential PACE. We're really encouraged with what's happening in Congress. I would encourage all of you to support the PACE protection financing that's going through Congress right now and do whatever you can to get that legislation passed, to get PACE fixed so that more communities can engage on it and move it ahead. That was the one roadblock we had with our city council when we went forward with our commercial program was they said, well, we heard that there's a legal problem with PACE. We said, no, it's only on the residential side. And it was contractors in the audience that got our commercial PACE program approved by our council. It wasn't me standing up there approving it or telling them it was a great idea and them approving it. It was the contractors that marched up before the council and said, if you don't do this, we're going to pick up our business and move out of town. And that's what it's going to take. It takes a collaborative effort between the contractor community and the local governments to support pieces of legislation and efforts to get the banks to start releasing some of that money that they've got and putting it, investing it in their communities.
I agree. 100%. One other thing that I would like to add is that, you know, I had mentioned the San Diego Metropolitan Credit Union and their financing program. They started about 6 weeks ago and have already committed anywhere from $1 to $2 million worth of loans for EE and solar projects for residential. So everything that we're hearing, everything that Joseph just said from the contractor community is financing, financing, financing. They can start to hire on more people. They can start to do more jobs because what they're seeing in the field is that people need that financing for the back end. The incentives will get you there just so far, but without local government support and without the contractor communities actually shaking those trees for, you know, our council members and the like and our voted officials, you know, we're not going to make any headway on the financing. And again, I would also echo that you support the PACE movement as it moves forward.
Any other questions? Yes, here in the front.
Susan Friedman, San Diego Association of Governments. So mine is a little San Diego-centric, but I think goes for the rest of the state as well. Our largest local governments are taking part with Energy Upgrade California, but then we have several small governments. And so what are the top one or few things that you'd recommend for a smaller local government to be able to get involved with Energy Upgrade and get that info out there? Is it supporting legislation that's federal, which maybe they don't have as much sway with? Or is it something working with their community? Or what would be some of those good couple steps to take?
Well, we're very fortunate that we've been working very closely with many of our local jurisdictions in Fresno County. In fact, one of our local cities, city managers here today from the city of San Joaquin. And we have dedicated ourselves to mutually supporting one another in these efforts that are going forward. And they offer their voices and their letters of support for our programs and will come out and speak at our council meetings when we're moving forward with our main, our efforts. And I think it's that kind of collaboration and an increasing level of collaboration. I was talking to Mary Tucker today from San Jose after one of the first sessions about how local governments should work closer together for energy efficiency programs for their municipal buildings and how we should probably be doing this at a much larger scale across the state. I see those kinds of efforts evolving into more or less mega regional approaches to how we deal with these programs and how we deal with and leverage our resources to educate our citizens, to educate our contractor communities. I mean, we held BPI training sessions in the city of San Joaquin, and we relied entirely on the city of San Joaquin staff to help us set up the training venue and do outreach to their local contractors. And that's the kind of collaboration that we're going to need as we go forward.
I would only add that making communities aware. I mean, you know, local governments can get out in the communities, they can make their constituents aware of what opportunities are out there, what's available, support the efforts to fill those missing gaps, you know, in this program and in others. Support the financing, support the PACE program. Get out there, make your homeowners aware and your renters aware of the opportunities that are out there. Mm-hmm. Get involved in the conversation. Find out what's actually going on behind the scenes with these programs so you have a good understanding of how they're operating as well.
If I may answer moderator's prerogative here, every community needs a champion, preferably more than one. So in that small community or in any small community, who are the people at the high-level staff level, at the city council or in the mayor's office, who can be that, you know, knight with the sword, who can be the evangelical for a program, and who can partner with a local or regional, another leader, somebody who's sort of been out there first for both the political cover, but also for just the programmatic expertise, the political expertise, so that they don't have to break trail all by themselves. They've already got a partner in action. And they can be the leader and the strong voice in their own smaller community. So that would be my recommendation.
Well, I'm sorry. One other thing I'd like to add is that there are committees in many of the communities throughout the state that are organizing, like our Retrofit Advisory Committee. So if there's something already going on in your community where folks are organizing and talking about programs such as this and challenges and success stories, and those smaller governments have to plug in. They have to contribute. They have to participate. Mm-hmm. If they don't participate, then they're going to get left behind. They have to have a seat at the table so they can turn around and address the needs of their community.
If you aren't at the table, you are on the menu. Yes.
Just following up on the question, we are indeed a small community. Joseph A. Brezins, the city of San Joaquin. And we're all in 1 square mile. Secondly, we've also
question here.
Yeah, I was curious how dependent the energy upgrade California is on the ARRA funding, and whether this whole kickstart of the program is dependent on that funding, and what's going to happen to the program when that ends.
It's very dependent on the ARRA stimulus funding. And what happens after is a huge unknown. Everyone, all three of us here, and many people in the larger community of organizations and agencies that are working on Energy Upgrade California are wrestling with that question right now. We have every intention of continuing what works best about the program, but exactly where it lives and how it continues is still a blank slate, which means there is tremendous opportunity for input about what works. What do you collectively want to see continued? What do you collectively think is, yeah, maybe not so much? We need those voices. We need that input. We need your advice as we move forward. So for anybody you know of who is working in that arena and you could provide that, that would be very, very beneficial and timely. Mm-hmm. So Kate was letting me know that Secretary Laird is here, and so we should take one more question, especially if the answer can be succinct, and then we should all mosey quickly to see Secretary Laird. One question.
We'll be able to get regular updates.
Well, that was an easy, quick question. Excellent. One of the things that has struck me as a theme in everyone's questions and the presentations here is that what we are talking about isn't so much a government program or a new fad or a new theme, but what we're talking about is real community engagement and making community, making an economic community, making an environmental community, making a fabric weave together so that our communities are sustainable on many levels. And I want to thank sincerely our speakers for their endeavors in that regard and for your participation as well. Thank you.